Welcome back to our continuing post-eclipse integration wormhole development therapy sessions.
I don't think it's, I think we're always just going to meet in the middle of it. Like there's no beginning. There is no end. There is only this present moment of processing what the fuck, right?
This has been a very powerful... there are no words for us, for you and I. So we just keep having these revelations. Is what's been fascinating is been every day. It's like, I figured another thing out. I figured another thing out. And then please don't talk to me. I can't speak. I need to go cry or hide under the covers and sleep for 10 hours. I didn't leave my house at all on Saturday, which I have not done. I don't know the last time that I did that where I didn't leave. Not one time.
I definitely don't leave the house a lot here. And I don't know. I was just thinking about like the last couple months and I was like, I wish I had known like what was ahead. I would have been like, I would have sent out some messages to people and be like, hey, I'm going to go die for a couple weeks, a couple months. I got to go die. And I feel like there are mythical creatures that do that. Like, in Harry Potter, wasn't that the Phoenix? Wasn't the Phoenix like, he's like, oh, he's dying right now. Don't mind him.
But then he was reborn right away. It was just sort of, had to watch it happen. Yes.
It takes longer for us humans to do it. It's like real long lag time.
Yeah.
I also think that like, you know, this eclipse, I think we were talking about this too. It's like, we're not done once the eclipse happens. It's like, I just think back to when my husband had a minor surgery and he came out of it and he's just like, I feel amazing. And it's because he's hopped up on all kinds of drugs and pain meds and whatever. And I'm like, it went great. Oh my God, it went great. Yeah, so good. And then like in the middle of the night, just these bear howls. And I'm like, oh no. And I talked to a friend of mine who's a nurse and she's like, oh yeah, the post-op is fine. It's the days and weeks afterward that are pure hell.
I got a text from a friend this morning that was just like, I'm having some serious anxiety. Like, you know, it kind of came up out of the blue. And I think that as we've been talking about before, when energy is moving and the veil is just, it's getting thinner and thinner and thinner and more people are going through deep changes, like deep existential changes. And the color is different for all of us. I think you and I mean, I'm happy to talk about what's been going on with me. And I'd obviously love to hear more what you've been going through as well. And then I really want to go through this, a teaching that was literally came up out of the blue, presented to me, which sort of falls in line with something that I've been resonating with and thinking about over the last many months and actually a couple of years, which is that in order for us to really grow, really integrate, and really move on, we have to forgive ourselves. And there's a self-forgiveness that is, we forget and, you know, that we're the, you know, it's not just the circumstance. It's not just the phone call from the old friend that, you know, triggered some emotion or some old memory. Our core, our essence, our soul is at the heart of everything we do. Everything gets processed through our subconscious mind. You and I have been talking a lot about this too. It's like the stories that we tell ourselves, they're not always helpful. And even in just the repeating of the story, it gets clarified, but also calcified. And this is something that, you know, has come up, you know, in our yogic practice, came up many years ago. And it's I would say, a controversial teaching, right? You know, like, is talk therapy helpful? And now I think there's so many different modalities of that kind of therapy, of going through and moving through something or trauma or a situation, you know, to develop and expand and to understand. But to just listen to yourself tell the story over and over and over and over again is not helpful. That is not going to move you forward.
I mean, you're staying in one frequency. You're mm-hmm. The story is the surface layer of it. You know, it's our projection. And right. If you're only living in the story and the loop and the retelling and the retelling, because you're also trying to change the story a little bit and like try to make it sound a little better and feel a little better. And if you only stay there, you're just going to be telling stories. And you know what? People that can be, I mean, plenty of authors have made a lot of money just telling the stories. You know what I mean? But it's like, is this the story you want to tell though? And one of the most confronting, just shit walks I've been on in the most recent present moment is asking myself, are you living from your heart? Are you living from your gifts? Are you living from your source, your God self, your infinite beauty? Are you living from that, or are you living from a wound? Are you living from a wound? And I can tell if we're not stupid, but we can tell ourselves stories that it's like, oh no, I'm justified feeling this way. Oh no, this actually is the real thing. They're bad and I'm good and they're wrong. And it's like, okay, you're living from your wound. And if you want to keep doing that, go right ahead. I'm not like, here's my feeling on it is, I look around. Is there a wound presenting itself? Is my reality not how I would like it to be? Is there something quote unquote wrong? Is there something where I'm like, oh shit, this motherfucker again? Yeah. You know why? The wound, like, it's presenting itself in a story. My story is money. Like, that's my signal that there's something that has not been healed, that there is something that is not in alignment with my God source. There is something that is absolutely not in the frequency that I've moved myself into. And I think that's a big thing that we're all facing. It's like, greatest timeline. Okay, if you're on your greatest timeline, you can't bring your wound with you.
Right.
It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. It's going to rub up against you the whole effing time. So, you know, it's like, that's the work. It's like, do you really want to live in this greatest, highest frequency? Because you have to let go of a lot of shit that you've attached yourself to and identified with and created a lot of suffering around. I mean, the victim story is embedded in us, and it doesn't have to rule us. It really, mm-hmm. truly doesn't. So if you're looking at the wound, there are different steps. And we've been taught, and this is why I'm so glad you just brought up, you know, just forgiveness. That's been a stage that I've been working with. And you start writing, you start journaling, and you're like, okay, wow, that memory. Oh, wow, that memory. And know what's interesting too, some of them just memories. There's no charge in it anymore. It's like, oh yeah, Ian did that stupid thing 15 years ago. Yeah, I don't care anymore. That's not a problem. Oh, but this thing is still showing up. Okay. I gotta forgive it. And honestly, I am today years old. I'm exhausted. I am so fucking tired of dragging this around. And I'm like, I can clear the disk space. I actually, you know what? It's just not worth it to me. And I'll just finish really quickly with my blast here. But, you know, Doreen Virtue, our gateway for many of us back in the day, and she's definitely moved on from her She's moved on from her style, let's say, but she had these angel cards. They're the one deck I've held on to. I think they were my first, like, you know, playing with the devil deck kind of thing. But the angels, it's a really beautiful deck. And there's the card, the forgiveness card, the write up on it is, it's always stayed with me. And one part that I forget how she says it, but it's like, it goes something like, forgiveness does not mean what you did is okay. Forgiveness means I'm not going to let this hurt me anymore. I'm not going to let this wound me anymore. Because here's the other thing, the right and wrong, the judgment, that is a whole other burden I think we all take on, like having an opinion, deciding, again, you're right, I'm wrong, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I'm really watching my judgments and opinions. I'm really like, who am I to judge? And I don't want that kind of karma anyways. And it's another thing where I'm like, it is too exhausting right now to judge. Let me be neutral.
This is beautiful. I actually pulled one of those cards last night. I thought, okay, what do I need to know right now? And I got the card freedom. And it was very interesting with that, because that also in some ways is the next step, right? Where the line in there was something like, the next time you say to yourself, I have to, or I should, or, you know, this is the appropriate thing, you know, next step or whatever, the idea is to step back and say, is that true? Is that an old belief, a false belief? Is it an expectation from somebody else that's not even you? Or again, a subconscious thought form that's taking hold and not letting you do the thing, or again, holding that charge. And I think that that forgiveness energy is part of this. So because through forgiveness, we can start to poke a little bit of hole in the energy of all of this. And, you know, I've been in a situation, I think for me, this wound and what's really come up in the last couple of weeks, and certainly I would say even longer, probably since the last eclipse season, you know, 6 months ago, is very existential of who am I and how do I behave and how do I show up in the world and what do I want and do I deserve to express, you know, my needs. And over, in some ways, it's a yes, but in the practical, true, real world from an outside perspective, the answer has really been no. And I realized this morning when I woke up that I've repeated a relationship pattern that I did when I was in high school. Like I just went through this and I go, oh, it's exactly the same type of beginning, the same type of middle, and the same type of end. And it's done, right? It's like, okay, I saw it, I got the mirror, and now it's time to forgive myself for doing the thing and for living in it and for holding on to it. So that being said, I would like to read these and then we can talk about each one. So these are the five forgivenesses to practice to make the transition into the Aquarian age easier.
Sorry.
Which is very specific title. No, okay.
So for our listeners, Joanna started reading them to me before we recorded, and I just kept having these like outbursts of reaction. I was like, we should just record this so that people can hear me in real time, just resent and resist. But, you know, I do want to say really quickly, when you talked about getting the freedom card, the freedom is the gift and the city of the victim gene key, number 55.
Oh, so with that one. Right, and all really.
What's that?
That's the one that's a universal.
Yes, that's what like we're all collectively going through right now. Like the collective has a gene key that's lighting up, and that's number 55. Victim is the shadow, and gift and city is freedom, and it is the only gene key that has both the gift and the city to be the same word.
Like, oh, interesting. Okay.
Usually the gene key has the shadow, the gift, and the city, and they're all different octaves of
so we,
of,
what's the shadow?
The shadow is victimization.
Okay. And then the gift and the, okay, interesting. The all right. So there's, so we should expect multiple levels of forgiveness.
Well, and also like, but think about it. I mean, you recognize this pattern, like we're both recognizing patterns, and it's like, the algorithm, the simulation, whatever you want to call it, it's not that creative. Its archetypes are pretty formulaic. And it's very easy for us to fall into familiar because Earth is really exhausting. So it's much easier. It's sort of like, I know this is bad for me, but I'm going to eat it anyways. I know this is, I just can't keep fucking it. So yes, please do tell. What are some easy ways for us to make this transition?
Okay. Number one, the first thing is please forgive God that he separated you from him, from himself, and created you as a creature. That's not enough. All right. This is a big one. This is about source and universal consciousness. And we are all fractals of a larger frequency that is timeless. It is not bound by any limit, truly. But we came into these bodies, we came into this carbon, you know, footprint, really, to meat go suit. Through something.
Meat suit.
What?
Did you get that?
Meat suit.
Like a meat suit. Like a meat locker. Walking around in a meat suit.
So we came in, you know, at what in this incarnation, in, you know, whatever DNA strand and lineage we happen to pop into in a particular lifetime, because we're here to go through something and we're here to have an experience of humanness and growth and evolution. But our ultimate goal is to get back to God. And, you know, we taught, and I'm using God loosely, goddess, source, universal consciousness. I don't personally energetically vibe with God as a being or a person with a face and a beard. It is more of an energetic frequency for me. But I think, and we hear this too for people that have transitioned to the other side and left their bodies, aka have died, their energy is still around. We get messages. Some people get direct messages from those that have passed. Some people get vibrations or signs and things like this. And almost invariably, it's like, everything's perfect over here. There is no separation. There is no trauma. There is no fear, right? It's just a universal frequency of love. So on one hand, we want that. And on another hand, we're terrified of it. And, you know, people don't want to die. They're scared to move to the next thing. Like, what's going to happen? So can we forgive ourselves for being in these bodies? That's the question.
Yeah, it's classic when we get into sort of New Age 101, where people are like, you chose this incarnation. And like, people always say that at the worst time, like when you're like really going through it and it just, it's like, you're hovering over the toilet, just like vomiting or whatever. You're in some, like, you're going through some crucible and someone's like, well, you picked it. It's like, fuck you. I mean, and then you get mad at yourself. It's like, well, if that's true, what kind of a dumbass? Like, but it, you know, also it's forgiveness for believing the lie.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's a lie. It's a lie that you're separate from God, that I am, that you are. It's not even so much like that, you know, you get in your body and like, it's the forgetting. It's, you know, from, I don't know, most accounts or recounting I have heard of incarnating is like you kind of cross this river or whatever, and it's a river of forgetfulness, mm-hmm. forgetting. And I think Dolores Cannon actually talked about someone who she regressed that didn't forget, like opted not to forget, and that made living so much harder and worse. Because they did remember, and the contrast to the human experience was just so miserable. And then it's funny, a friend, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, you know, we, I think we do have these moments, right? I mean, like, oh, it's the deja vu, right? The deja vu is like, is coming to us saying, I've been here before. I've felt this before. I've seen this before. And we don't have a rational explanation for those types of moments, right? And generally those, in my opinion, these deja vu moments are times that it does go back to the past or some other, you know, version of ourselves, a different timeline living it, whether that again is a past incarnation or, you know, the dream state from when you were, you know, 3 years old. So I do think that there are pieces of it that we do kind of remember, but it's not a conscious experience.
No, absolutely. And like, my friend shared this reel. It was really sweet. Someone was telling a story about like these parents came home with their newborn and their little one, she was like, I don't know, 3 or 4, wanted to be left alone in the room with the baby. And the parents were kind of like, all right. I mean, all right. So they, you know, they kept the door open a crack or they had the nanny cam on. And the child, the 3 or 4 year old, leans over to the newborn and says, tell me everything. Tell me everything. I'm starting to forget. I'm forgetting the things and I need you to remind me. And I mean, but there's a whole development. Like we talk about this a lot too, like 0 to 9 months and then up to 7 years. And then just in terms of like the thing, I mean, when my brother was born, I mean, the things children say, right? But I remember him saying to my parents, you know, I don't remember God, but I remember that light and I remember the tunnel. And my parents are like, oh God, okay, all right.
Call the priest.
Whoa.
All right, number two. We can come back to that, but let's keep moving.
That was number one? That was number one.
Yeah. That's pretty deep. Just remember you are divine. Okay. Second, number two, forgive your destiny that it is as it is. You never wrote it, you earned it, and you forgot about it. But that's the way it is, and that's the way it is. Your destiny is your destiny, and there's nothing you can do about it. Simply, you can reach it or not reach it. There's nothing more to do and nothing less to do. I love this. This is one of my favorites. So in astrology, and certainly in evolutionary astrology, we look at the nodes of the moon relating to our karma and our destiny. And this is the movement of our energetic, emotional body moving through time and space. In a way, in, you know, relating to Kundalini yoga, you could say this is a little bit of the subtle body, right? Frequency. And the thing that's fascinating about astrology is that we look at both the south node, the past, and the north node, the future. And both of them are present all the time. And when you consider that your destiny path is available, you also need to consider that the energy around where you've been and come from is also extremely present. So we often get stuck in the past and aren't ready to move forward. We fear what we don't know. And at the same time, we don't necessarily integrate all of our gifts and everything, all that we've come in with, and exalt ourselves with our just simply, again, divinity or energetic resonance, our intuition, our deep knowing, and honoring that and developing that and using that to propel us forward. Instead, we have this sort of separation of, you know, oh, the future is the future. Now, I also had experience with when I was young, where I thought I didn't really like being young in my teens and 20s, and even in my 30s, I always thought my life's going to be so much better when I get older. I'm going to be wise and I'm going to know things and I'm going to really come into my own. And I had a very, very clear understanding of that. And that, and I don't know a lot of people that have that or knew that, or, you know, because a lot of people were like, I'm a football player in high school and this is the best it's going to be, right? Because we definitely knew those kids, right? Or whatever, you know, Olympic athletes, they're in their early 20s and it's like they've been going hard, right? They're training hard their whole life for this moment and they have the moment and then, you know, they age out. Or, you know, whatever the thing is. So it's like, then what, right? And it's sort of like, my life is over now. And that, again, maybe their destiny, quote unquote, peaks at, you know, 25, or maybe they really come into it later on. I mean, you know, Grandma Moses didn't start, you know, her artwork until what, she was in her 70s or 80s. I mean, it, you know, it, you just don't know when all of this is going to kick in or show up or teach you something or allow you to, again, you meaning the ego, to sort of soften and just move with the energy frequency and allow both the past and the future to be present all at the same time.
Yeah, because if you're constantly time traveling ahead, if you're not, if you're always thinking, oh, it'll get better, oh, maybe, you know, oh, I can't wait to get to this. It's like, we're always kind of kicking the ball down the field and chasing it and never quite getting to it because we're never, well, not we never. I'm just saying, like, if that's your jam, like if that's what I'm doing, I'm always, then I'm never quite here. I'm never enjoying the things that I created or manifested or dreamed of 5 years ago. I'm just thinking about the next thing. And it just turns into this like consumption. I mean, when I was a kid, I couldn't wait to grow up either. It's like, and I think it was just, I just wanted the freedom of being an adult. Like I wanted that freedom. I wanted to not have to show, like sitting in a classroom for hours and hours. And, you know, it's like, we can have it both ways. You can appreciate the things from the past. You can get excited about the future and live in this moment and know that it's all, I mean, it really is all here at the same time happening at once. I mean, for me also, like as an actor, God, I mean, my first headshots, I looked like I was 40 years old and I was just out of college. It was like, I mean, out there, it's quite, they're quite something, let me tell you. But like, I remember casting directors, everyone just being like, wait till you're 35, wait till you're 35. And it's like, well, guess what? When you get to 35, then you're competing with all the 35-year-olds that have a career. And back to another podcast we had, it's like, then you're competing with Robin Wright Penn. And you're like, I can't compete with this. I mean, I think she's a few years older than me, but it's like, did I miss it? And it's like, it's a very confronting moment where it's like, oh my God, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this, but did I miss it with all that waiting?
Hence forgiving. That's the piece. It's forgiving how you got there, forgiving where you are, and forgiving the future that may or may not happen. And it might look, you know, the way that you think it might look, or it might not look anything like that. And I think it's been a real interesting experience, you know, certainly in our world and, you know, where we talk a lot about Dharma and being in the Dharma and having that, you know, I don't want to call it pressure, but it is a little bit of sort of like, are you buying into it? Because that's, again, somebody else's story, right? And it's like, I can do my yoga practice and have a meditation practice and do my thing and live my life, but your destiny is not my destiny. And I need to be fully aligned, as you said, really to integrate the past, the present, and the future. And this is that lunar frequency of the nodes of the moon and the moon itself. And it's constantly evolving. It's constantly changing. And again, post-eclipse, right? The moon's very prominent here. And it's like shining its light and taking its light away and moving you in different places.
That Chiron too is a sneaky motherfucker because this... this Chiron, the Chiron moves that have been pulling out here since I drew a Kim Kranz card after the eclipse. I drew a an archetype card, mm-hmm. and I'm like waiting for, you know, the rainbows and sunshine and bunnies and abundance and like pots of gold, and I get the fucking storm, and I'm like, Kim, what are you saying? Sometimes I'll, you know, we know her, not to name drop, but like every now and then I'll text her and I'll be like, dude, kind of aggressive, isn't this? But it's like very true. There's a lot of shit that gets kicked up post eclipse. And then when you bring that, when we look at the moon, and this is something I'm catching on to, is the emotions and the moods that keep passing through, and my constant, like literally grabbing a crystal to ground myself and say to myself, is just a mood. This is just a mood. This will pass. And, you know, I'm an emotional authority in human design. So on the one hand, my emotions are very informative. And on the other hand, my emotions are full of shit. Like they are lying to me left and right. And it's a real balance to, you know, to maintain that, to like, you know, is this just a mood or is this actually true? And back to the wound, back to freedom. It's like, well, if this feels like shit, if this feels like a bad option, you know, we're talking about these, being in these frequencies, and something I've been looking at, because I'm in a pattern like you, like we're looking at patterns. And so I go to the past for the solution or my experience, because it's like, well, you know, that's why we hold on to the past, because mm-hmm. obviously, you know, it got us through this tight corner. Maybe it'll get us through this tight corner again, but I actually opted to get onto a new timeline. And on this new timeline, I have to discover the new solutions that exist on this timeline and not default to old solutions, which is painful and frustrating.
So I would say, again, in this regard, move into the North Node, the destiny path. It's, you're already feeling uncomfortable. It's like, how much worse could it actually be? So it's like, how much worse could it actually be? And this is how I'm going to be operating from, you know, now on. At least I'm going to attempt it for the rest of today. you know, to move in, whatever my North Node wants to tell me, I'm going to go in that, along that line. But also, like, not to be, again, not to attach to this. Again, we're talking about forgiveness and, you know, all of how all of it is set up for us and our whole scenario and all the noise in our head and, you know, the situations that we find ourselves in, and everything is up for review, mm-hmm. but we have to make more space and breathe into it. This is another thing I would say too, if you're thinking like, how does one do this? How do you bring in forgiveness? You create space. And one way to do it is through breath. You bring more prana, bring more life force into it, and allow it to the darkness to just disintegrate slightly.
Well, and like what we were talking about, but it's the anomalous action too. You're in a pattern, and the old tricks aren't working anymore. You're in a new pattern now. Well, you're in the pattern, but you're in a new frequency, watching the pattern, moving through it. So you obviously, you can't default to the old settings. You want to break up the pattern too. It's like, mm-hmm. this old loop again, really? And so like what you're saying, the breath work, the anomalous action trick is you just go do something out of your routine,
right?
Out of your day. Like instead of walking the dog left, you go right, just something. Or like I was talking to you yesterday, I'm like, I'm going to the sauna. It's in the middle of the day, like on a hot day.
Did it work? Good.
Yeah, it did. Because yesterday I was in it yesterday, really in it. I'm doing this, I'm doing this money mentality makeover with Amanda Francis, which is, that's my wound. I mean, I'll say it. And, you know, I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this program. I've heard about it for a while. I'm just going to go in and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do the homework. I'm going to sit down at the table with my notebook because I have a lot of notebooks to choose from. My new notebook that's going to change my whole destiny now. And I'm going to write. She has prompts and questions. And I'm like, I'm going to fucking write it down. And I got to say, it's doing so much for my life. It's like, everyone's like, it's not about the money. It's not about the health. It's not about the relationship. It is and it isn't. It really is. What is seething and foaming underneath
you
that is that's stopping you from just fucking enjoying your life and embracing the new?
Third, forgiveness. Forgive the distance and the environment, which are always challenging, and the cause and effect, which are happening. In the middle of this crossfire and breath fire and cover fire, a soldier has to move. It isn't the life that matters. It's the courage you bring to it. Life doesn't matter. Coward lives many lives. Brave never dies.
Well, we have, what, one day left of Aries season?
We've got a few more days. We got like 4 days.
So we're kind of like, it's, you know, Frodo Baggins or Bilbo Baggins has to say, all right, you've got a couple more days in Mordor here, and then you can go back to the Shire and enjoy your Taurus season. Eat your cakes.
Yeah. Forge ahead, really. And I think that you gave some good examples of how to do it, right? And just break up the pattern. You know, what would a courageous person do in this situation? How do I look at this differently?
And here's the shit kicker, or here's the good news. Everyone, all 6 billion people, everyone in the world has courage, has to use courage. Like, some people maybe not. You know, everyone has a courage edge to it. And for some people that are like riddled with fear and anxiety, courage is to walk out the door. And other people that, you know, maybe are, I don't know. I mean, Taylor Swift, like, I'm serious. Like, I'm sure there's a moment where she's just like, okay, need a little bit of courage to go perform in front of, you know, 17 million people or whatever. Like, and that was something, I think I talked about this, but I did on one of the Gene Keys, it was a webinar with Richard Rudd. He went through all the 6 lines of one particular sphere, and every single line required courage. Like, so no matter where you were or what your map was or who you are, I think that is also on the other side of it. It's like, hey, we all feel a little weak. We all feel a little vulnerable. We all feel a little raw. We all feel a little terrified. And it's like, some of us play it off better than others, or more effectively, or, you know, cast a lot of bravado, which is probably a good red flag. That person is shitting their pants, you know? But I mean, I think about with acting, like, even like, working on set with people that I've admired for years that I thought were just total pros, and they are fucking shaking, stumbling on their lines, like having to like get themselves there. And one of the biggest gifts I've ever had from all those years of just getting to be a paid observer, basically, to people at work is seeing, everyone is on the line here. Mm-hmm. Nothing is guaranteed. So, you know, so get over it, you know, whatever. No, like, guess what? Welcome to being a fallible human.
Yeah. And I do love this part. Life doesn't matter. And I actually bring this up a lot with people, right? Just like, in whatever the circumstance or situation, right? And it's like, you've made this molehill into a giant mountain. Does it actually matter, right? Is this a real problem? is this, you know, something that can't be reduced with, again, one breath or one recitation of a mantra or one hug, you know, or one, you know, walk around the block to get a little bit of clarity or, you know, to observe the situation from the outside. It doesn't matter. We are in a matrix. We are playing a game. It doesn't matter. Show up, engage, show up, don't engage, just forgive, right? Okay, number three. That was number three. Number four, forgive your capacity, your ability, your duality, and your divinity. Please forgive it. It is limited. The job of the infinite is the infinite job. Just keep doing it and he'll come through. He knows it better because God is everywhere and we are just somewhere. So this has come up for me. I had in the last week, I've done a lot of deep work. I've had two different past life regression sessions and an Akashic Records reading. I'm going deep, man. I'm going like deep 12th house here. What one theme that came up multiple times was call in your guides, let it go, forgive yourself, and just bring in a higher frequency. Allow yourself to tune into that divine level, mastery level of complete understanding of universal love and flow. And also your deepest intuition, your inner child, you already have all of the information. And again, back to number one, we're not separate from source. So if you already have all of the information and the resonance of the beauty and magic of consciousness itself, call it in. Ask for it. Let the infinite do the work. I'm just here for the ride. I'm the observer.
Yeah. And like, I was on a, yeah. So there's a few things. There's set it, forget it. There's, you know, I was on this, like, Jessa Reed did a marathon live the other night, and she was talking about, like, let the universe, the universe doesn't want you to ask how. Like, don't micromanage the universe. Let it do its thing. I will say, I pray a little differently now, and I say, please guide me. Please guide me. Show me the next step, the next action, because I'm in the body. I'm the one in the body here moving through the 3D, and God can move through me, and I have to let God move through me. It's a co-creation, like what we've been talking about. And, you know, there was one time where, you know, as I was pretty pissed off at Guru Jagat post-mortem. And I was like, fuck you. And I'm like, help me, help. I'm like, please help me, please help me, please help me. And I could actually hear her say, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Right? And I was thinking about how back in the day, you know, I would go up to her after class and I'd just be like, I need like 30 seconds. I'm not going to go up to her after class and be like, I need you to fix my entire life. Like, I'm not going to, like, what the fuck is she going to do? Right? I'm going to ask her for a little bit of advice for what, how to handle something. And I find that I would fall into a prayer style that way, where it was like, help me, 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 help me. And it's like, I'm so busy saying, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, that I'm not listening. So now it's help me and I'm listening. Yeah. I need some help, please. I'm listening. And then it's on me to listen.
Yeah.
It really is.
And also I think that you said this as well. It's like this piece around forgiving our capacity and our ability. It's like, I'm today days old, right? Like I only know what I know as of today. I haven't had, you know, a different type of experience of, you know, I don't have $10 million in a philanthropic foundation that I'm ready to give away, but I might tomorrow. So my today capacity is, you know, I've got $100 to give away and I want to make it worthwhile and worth something. But hold yourself in that space where there is room to grow and room to change and room to add on. But to your point, don't put it on somebody else. And I had a friend tell me recently also where they actually had to withdraw from being around their teacher because they realized that they were projecting so much on that person that they were in a way getting lost and they weren't actually doing the work that they needed to do for themselves. And so thankfully they were able to see it and they disengage. And I think this too is what the eclipses have, in my opinion, these Libra Aries eclipses have really highlighted of who am I? How am I showing up in this situation? Am I codependent on this other person or am I projecting on them to get them to do the thing that I want them to do so that I'm going to feel better? And it doesn't work that way. So we really need to stand in our own power more, like just to see it and to feel it and to be it and to be quiet and still in that space because we have everything we already need.
Yeah. And I think like I went through the exact, that was basically my last couple of months where I just isolated. I had to isolate. I didn't know it at the time. And if I could have like seen it then, I could have been like, hey, you know, I'm not really on the phone much right now. Or like, I'm just detaching a little bit. And, you know, I mean, My brother did one of those like 10-day Vipassana like silent retreats once. And it's like, I'm actually having compassion for myself and forgiving myself for the last few months if I wasn't super graceful with people or like, I didn't want to do things. I had some obligations and I was really resentful about going into the public. And in this moment where I was, you know, guys, I'm trying to die here. Can you just let me die for a little while here? Do I have to go to lunch? But like, you know, it wasn't scheduled. It wasn't planned. It wasn't strategized. There wasn't really a container. I was very grateful and I'm very lucky that I could just sort of withdraw, you know, sink into the gene keys. But here's the thing. I know this about myself too. When I'm going through this stuff, I don't want it to get on anybody. I don't, I will project. I will blame. You know, there was something I was reading the 55th again today, because this is a month long meditation on this one gene key, by the way. And fascinating what he says about the spiritual process and how in the victim frequency, we tend to use spirituality as a form of being victim, because we're constantly in search of the spirituality.
Right.
And if we're constantly in the search of it, we are only propagating the concept that there is a separation, that
right,
there is something to look for. And he says it. He says people do this by attaching themselves to a spiritual discipline, to a teacher, to spiritual tourism, always on the hunt, never there. And then there's nothing wrong with these modalities. They're part of the journey, but it doesn't end at the teacher. It doesn't end at the mountaintop where you're praying. It doesn't stop there. It goes beyond. You go through and you you just let it all dissolve and realize that it's all within, without. It's expressed in the teacher. It's expressed in the discipline. It's expressed in the miraculous DNA of the creature, of the leaf, of the oak tree, of the acorn. It's everywhere. And it's that attachment, it's letting go of that attachment. And that's what gives you, I don't want to say that gives you, that's where you are the freedom.
Right. The I am. That's Aries, right? You come mm-hmm. back to yourself. You're beautifully said. I don't need to say anything else. Okay. We are coming to number 5. forgive yourself that you have to go through it. Okay, wait, here we go. Let me keep reading. We are very cruel to ourself. We are very cruel to our being. We are very cruel to our grace. We are very cruel to our tolerance. We are very cruel to our security. We are extremely cruel to our self-trust, self-esteem, self-respect. Our cruelty is written on every leaf of every branch on this planet Earth. If you count how cruel we are, you'll be shocked. Why? Be at peace. All is waiting to come to you. What are you playing games and what for? You play games, games will play with you. You are the highest of the incarnations. You are the crown of God's kingdom. Just wear the crown and keep your neck straight. Walk straight, walk tall. That's all it is. No left, no right. If you cannot keep your own crown on your head, you will live like a clown in your head. You decide it. I don't have to decide for you.
I mean, look, let's not diss the sacred clown. I mean, right? Like, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, go ahead.
I had this experience in this past life regression.
I just love that sentence coming out of Joanna Pitt's mouth. You guys have no idea. And maybe you do. Many of us know Joanna well. And it's like, this is gold.
Perfect. We haven't even gone to the thing yet. But I had gone through, they take you through these sort of stages or sets, as it were. And this is towards the end, and we called in the guide sort of after it all kind of went down. And the question is, what do I need? What's next? How do I move through then forward in grace, in courage, in my bravery, in just being me, really? And the guide said, wear this crown of gold. And it was gold. I thought at first it was like gold feathers, but it could have been like gold leaf. So gold, whatever, gold leafy feathers crown. And it opened, the idea was that, and they said, it'll open the 10th gate, the crown chakra, and all of the wisdom will come in, and it'll remind you that all of the wisdom is already here. You have everything you need. It's just, if you need, I mean, basically the energy around this was, if you need a trick, turn on, like, put on a crown, put on a tiara, like, wear some jewelry, put on some makeup, come into your royal Raj self, whatever that might look like, or, you know, whatever's going to put you in that energetic frequency where you feel your radiant body really getting activated. Because again, it's already there. So forgive the parts that have forgotten, and forgive the again, this sort of cruelty, this denial of self and the denial of infinite, the denial of your own divinity. And it's really interesting. It's quite beautiful. I had this is slightly off, but this thing I used to feel when years and years ago, when I was working in an office. And I remember some days I just couldn't really put myself together, and I just didn't look, I couldn't like put the outfit. It all felt wrong. And I remember even then feeling, you know, if I can make it 3 days out of five feeling really great walking out the house, that's okay. That's enough. But it's the practice of it and the remembrance of it. And again, wear your own crown. And we've talked about this too in our over the years. It's only you can crown yourself. I have to put the crown on. You have to put your own crown on. And if you walk in and you're like, today's crown is, I'm going to do something different. Today's crown is, you know, I'm going to start working with the skulls. I'm going to work with the jade. I'm going to work with the rose quartz. I'm going to get in with, you know, this crystal, that thing, or something else. And we can again, through the forgiveness, come back to who we are.
Listen, you in a gold leaf crown, you've got that great hair. You're so Grecian. Like you have such a Grecian vibe about you that I really actually think you should probably commission a gold, like if you could walk like Diana, you know, Wonder Woman when she's on like the island with all the, I forget what island it was, but like you have that Greek goddess like vibe. I mean, I would not argue you walking into a room with a gold leaf crown around your, you know, and like a scroll. That I encourage this branding. But yeah, what we're really doing is, as I've said before, we're scraping the bowl. We're taking down these illusions and these veneers, as you said in the last podcast. We're peeling away the layers of the onion. Mm-hmm. If anything, it's the God source is there. It's all there. You know, there's this great documentary about George Harrison. It's called George Harrison Living in the Material World. And I talk about this interview a lot. It's like the 60s and him and John Lennon are sitting on a couch and it's black and white. And this total like Poindexter, like button up suit, like heavy glasses is like, so this, he's like this spirituality, this illumination, like he's just using all these, he's just intellectualizing it. And he keeps talking about finding this enlightenment, and George Harrison, and by the way, and John Lennon is checked out. He can see he's so bored in this interview. And George Harrison says, there is no separation. Mm-hmm. It's your own ignorance that creates this idea of separation. And it's attachment. It's like the more we attach to anything in this world, material, beliefs, truths, it's like we have to attach to something. We have to, the wave has to turn into a particle. It's, you know, I got to identify myself. And it's these, and that's fine. But what you're doing is you are creating a container. You are confining this infinite source. You're confining it to something with limits. And we do it to feel safe. I mean, think about like a baby being swaddled. Like, I mean, this is a jagged world we live in. So yeah, we protect ourselves. We create these armors. We chant these mantras. We do what we protect ourselves because we don't feel safe in this world. I mean, I speak for myself. I don't feel safe in this world. Maybe you do. And great.
Well, it is interesting because you hear this a lot more and more, you know, all these people following all this conspiracy stuff, and which I'm personally not interested in, but that in a way, it's like, again, that's part of the story because it explains the thing that they're feeling insecure about. Oh, well, it's the aliens or it's the reptilians coming in. I'm like, really? That's the story? Okay, that's cool. You know, just live your life, because again, that it puts us in situations where you're holding on for all, you know, you're gripping with your bare hands and you're just like holding on to whatever you can actually hold on to. And again, you're in a victim mentality in that regard, where it's some outside thing that's putting energy on you and it's turning you into really a victim and somebody that is not in control and somebody that's even more scared of, you know, getting moved around or steamrolled or put in a situation that you didn't want or didn't expect, or is going to, you know, keep you down and keep you either concealed or, you know, depressed or repressed or oppressed, right? It's their fault. Like, I didn't bring this on and da da da. And it is true. Like, and that's, I think, again, where the spiritual bypass comes in, where you can just sort of write it off. Oh, well, it's the, you know, Venus in Pisces or whatever. It doesn't work that way. Or my teacher said this or something like that. We just have to pay attention. And again, look at all of these stories, forget of the context or what the story actually is. It's designed to keep yourself small. It's designed to keep you separate from your divine energy. It's designed to separate you from your destiny path, your soul path, the work that you are meant to do in this lifetime, the beauty of your spirit to walk in the world and your auric field to change lives, to make people feel better. There's an upliftment available to all of us. This radiance is available to all of us. How do we get there? We get there through this peace, this forgiveness. I'm telling you, it is the crux of everything.
Yeah, I know. I've been fucking journaling about it for days now. And honestly, it's funny because I'm so grateful for the money wound bringing me to this little program by this gal out in Bel Air who, I mean, I'm into it. You know, who cares how I got there? I'm sitting here with my journal and I'm like, and I've got that stupid Don Henley song in my head. You know, I think it's about forgiveness. And I'm like, oh my God, it's forgiveness. Isn't it really? No, actually though, it is. It is about every resentment that I've carried, every wound, every, oh, well, you know, of course she can because her father's a producer, or of course he can because, you know, his dad's a banker or whatever. It's like, okay, and how does that have any influence on what I'm choosing to do with my life? How does the fact that that person has that thing going on mean I can't do that? Like, just because they got from A to B via C, okay, so maybe I get to A to B via E. Like, who knows? I want to read you this. This is what I was reading this morning about. It's the title of this section is called Faking Freedom. And it says, high levels of frequency do not necessarily lead you to spiritual experiences. In fact, high levels of frequency tear down the very illusion that there is such a thing as spiritual experience. So, you know, welcome to what you asked for, which is I want a higher timeline. I want freedom, blah, 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 blah. Okay. If in that case, here's this like giant mural of your bullshit. And you made this, by the way. So yeah. Here's what your subconscious, what your, all that interior shit, here's what they've been working on while you haven't been dealing with it. It's like leaving the dog alone in the house with like every treat bag open and, you know, everything valuable that I don't want him to chew. It's like, oh, wow, that didn't go well. Yeah, he says true freedom has nothing to do with how we spend our time on the material plane. Because he's talking about it's a stripping down. It's releasing. It's a letting it go. He goes, true freedom is not an effect. It's not an effect. It's not something that you're manifesting. It's already there.
Right.
And in fact, if you are manifesting, it's the Michelangelo removing all of the granite or whatever, all of the stone that is not the angel. The angel was always there to him. It's just getting rid of all the shit around it that encased it in some anonymous lump of stone.
Right, right, right. I am curious, because we were speaking yesterday, I was telling you a story, and you heard it It was kind of beautiful. You probably said it way better than how I'm going to repeat it. But what I heard was, Joanna, you're telling a victimization story. And I thought to myself, how do we share with our friends and loved ones the things going on, circumstances that are going on in our life, without explaining it through the victimization? Can we relate to one another directly without that lens of these false personas and false beliefs? I'm not sure. I think what I got to was, what I said to you was, will you, next time we speak, will you please stop me the minute I fall into that trap? Because yeah. I don't want to repeat this story. I want to be done with this particular thing around, you know, using my voice and declaring my desires and my, you know, my wants. And I think that it's tricky. I think that it's tricky because we are so conditioned to, you know, trick ourselves first and be in this sort of like cruelty energy that they're talking about here. And it's like, how do we do that?
You know, I think there's so many ways I think to do it. And one I think is you can, you know, a practice of isolation, getting to know your own voice, really, really knowing your own bullshit. Now I'd said to you, I was like, you know, I was thinking of asking Jessa, can I schedule you once a month? Because we're not, right. You know,
so it's like you need a person, you need somebody to mirror back to
someone yeah. objective that's not gonna listen. Someone I know is watching Sex and the City for the first time, and I was like, oof, I have so much like so many mixed feelings about that show because I grew up. I mean, I was in my late 20s, early 30s, while that was the zeitgeist. That was the culture. And I mean, there's some real cringe and there's some real permissiveness. And the one thing that I walked away with now that I reflect on is like this hot mess and this drama and this like, oh girl. And listen, we all have those friends that will get right in there and fucking pissed off at the guy or the thing. And no, he didn't. Like, you know, like that I remember when Ian and I would have, you know, we'd have like, you know, issues or, you know, couple stuff. And there were people I knew I could not call to talk to about it because I needed someone who wasn't going to hold a grudge or, you know, that is going to accept that this is a story, this is something I'm moving through. I needed to vent a little bit, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it's twofold. I think it's know your audience, threefold. No, really. It's like really who I have moments where I'm like, who can I bring this to? Because I do want out of it. I need to vent, and I need to vent in a way that is actually going to grow me to a new level here. That's going to create a solution or something. You know what I mean? Which was why I was like, you know, do I call on someone who I'm not friends with, who has nothing invested in my life or my story or whatever, and can just kind of yell at me, honestly, because that's what Jessa does. Like I'll start like, you know, yarning about whatever, and she'll be like, well, I mean, what you're doing is, and I'll be like, yep, that's what I'm doing. Because I think too, you know, maybe it's about having an intentional conversation. Like, listen, this isn't, you stopped me yesterday. I started going on about something and you're like, hang on. Are you gossiping about this person, or are you actually, you know, looking to reveal something about yourself here? And I'm like, okay. And it's like, it's that literal, like, I am not gossiping. I am determining, but it's a, I mean, I think it's also maybe like say what you want. If you're going to bring something to someone, say, listen, I need to vent. I need you to not hold any of this shit. I need you not to get angry. But also, if that person's going to get angry for you, don't take it to them, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a responsibility of us in many ways. Like, what do you want from this conversation? What do you really want? Do you want to spread the story around and like give it some more hot air? Or do you actually want someone, it's like that Bob Newhart, like pay someone $5 to say, stop it.
Stop it. Yeah. And I was just thinking too, one of the yogic teachings that we've heard are of these, the three C's that are draining, which is compete, complain, and compare. So again, if you find yourself in one of those modes, then really take a step back and think, is this in my best interest to continue this train of thought and getting these words out? And again, I think gossip is one of the, you know, we like to share stories. We learn about ourselves through sharing stories. You know, we release energy through sharing stories and that sort of energy. But also it's like, is this a competition here where you're trying to be better than somebody and get on your, you know, holier than thou wavelength? This complaining and comparing. And again, they're all taking us and separating us from our source, from who we are on the inside. But in again, forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean to say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. By the way, I play tennis. Do you know how many times the word sorry is used on this tennis court? It's unbelievable.
Are they British? It sounds very British. Sorry. No. Oh, sorry.
I just think that that's, again, like a bypass of like, oh, you know, don't look at me. Like, I didn't mean it. And it's like, we're actually here to play. None of us are that great. So we'll be bad and we'll be good. Period. That's how we need to live our life. And again, to sort of, I think forgiveness is more than just this sort of performative apology culture, because it goes way deeper. And I think you're experiencing that as you're going through this process of, you know, really going through deep resentments and experiences where feelings came up that were not comfortable, you know, rage and anger and true, you know, fear and anxiety. Things that, you know, when we're doing deep work and we're going back and looking at some of these things, it's like, you know, you can feel it in the physical body. You can get hot. You can get cold. You can want to throw up. I mean, I'm running this story over the last couple of months, and there were times where I was like, I'm going to say something. I'm going to do it. And I literally thought I was going to puke my guts out. And instead of just puking, literally or metaphorically, I didn't. And so I held it down. And the more you hold it down, the more that volcano is ready to erupt. And the more that happens, the closer you are to these states of cruelty to the self, you know, duality, not being in your own integrity space, not honoring who you are, not respecting the gorgeousness of your soul. And I think that, you know, we just have to really tune ourselves into the people, places, and things that will allow us to step into this forgiveness space a little bit more. And people are going through this. I want to say too, like, you could be in a situation with your family. I mean, I know we've talked about the things that you and I are sort of oriented towards right now, but a lot of people are in situations with their family or with their job, their boss. You know, maybe there's some kind of interlock with somebody else that's causing some, you know, pain. It could be, you know, part of this destiny moving forward and wanting to break through and break free to the next level of your incarnation and the work that you're meant to do. So there's a lot of ways in here.
And there's also like, you know, back to the forgiveness, but also like, you know, cheer up, guys. Like what we're, whatever, no, really, like what we're doing is very courageous,
yeah.
You know? And if we're embracing a new frequency, it is new. We do not know necessarily how it works. We might not be very good at it. You know, when we were installing that giant crystal at that house and like the 19 factors we were taking in to get it done. And, you know, my friends are out playing with the dog and I'm like, and I'm like, sorry. Hey, are you guys in a rush? Like, can you stick around a little longer? We've never done this before. I mean, yeah. Give yourself some slack. And yeah. I think also the pattern, the story, we think to ourselves, what the fuck? I've done this before. Why am I fucking it up so much? Why is it not, why do I feel like such a fuck up? And it's like, because you haven't done it this way before.
Right.
You haven't done it with the certain circumstances that are here now. I mean, I was talking to a friend of ours who is having a pattern from six, the exact same, I cannot believe this exact same thing is here now. And I'm like, uh-huh, I can believe it. It's yeah. completely different from like what, you know, you and I have been talking about. And it's like, you know, back to Ian after an audition, what did I do right? What did I do wrong? What will I do better next time? And I mean, look, hopefully if we are really experiencing some suffering here, some real cruel to thyself moments, we won't, it's just not worth it to do that again if there's a next time. It's just, okay, it's, I mean, look, this is the surrender moment, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, you know what? I give up. And I'm not saying I'm defeated. I'm not saying I'm out, I'm done. It's like, I give up trying to do this in the limited ways that I have done it before. Please guide me. I'm listening.
Yeah. I want to read the end of this, which is, I love that you use that word suffer. So if you can practice this, you'll find the Age of Aquarius extremely friendly. If you don't, my prayer is you may not suffer, right? That's the suffering is the separation. My prayer is that Aung San Wahiguru, that the 30 trillion gods living in you and dancing in you may protect you and may your radiant body keep your radiance. Think too, the more we stay in these stories, the more we stay in that frequency of suffering, the dimmer our light gets. I think we're still always divine, no matter what, whether we see it or not, but the light and the brilliance, that piece dims and we get smaller, and that is not our birthright.
No. No, I, one of my favorite, there's Amanda Francis has these different like little bumper stickers, but every now and then she when you sign up for one of her courses, you get, you know, just loads of videos from old talks that she's given. And one of her tropes is, you know, God's not up in the sky with a whiteboard, you know, saying Joanna shall not have this thing she desires because, you know, X, Y, Z. I mean, it actually, I mean, look, I don't know, but that sounds a lot more true to me than, you know, there's some agenda against me. I don't know. That's another form of victim consciousness, which mm-hmm. is that there's some force against me. And it's like, yeah, you know what? Everything, like, you can look at it, everything's against you. I mean, fucking gravity's against you. You want to fly? Gravity has something to say about that. Okay. So there are certain parameters in this world that we live in. And there are a lot more miracles and secrets and pockets of possibility and potentiality that also exist. There are lots of secret entrances, I think, that we can all take. And I mean, look, sometimes I don't want to be too bright. Sometimes I want to dim. Sometimes I want to be like, you know what? I need to get real small. I think of those cartoons, the Super Twins. Like they were shapeshifters basically, but it's just like they had to get into a little tiny opening. So it's like Super Twin powers activate in the form of an ant, and then like the other one has to be like a sheet of ice or something, so they can
I forgot about them. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's another wonderful little game we can play is like, do I need to shapeshift? Just know you're doing it. Hmm. I'm not an ant. And sometimes I have to shrink down to the size of an ant to make my way through this very tricky crevice of my experience. And I can be brighter than 108 white suns if I so choose.
Mm-hmm. All right. Our prayers for everybody. Thank you. This is really lovely. I'm very excited to see what happens. We shall see.
I feel like we should pull out our planners with a little pencil and be like, okay, so when would you like to make your next therapy appointment? Okay. Hey guys, leave us reviews, leave us 5 stars. Let us know. Joanne and I get these texts sometimes from folks that do have our numbers, and they're lovely texts to receive.
We love
the feedback. And I mean, tell folks around if you like what you're hearing, if you think they would like it too. As one of our friends said, she said, you know, I'm so tired of the bros. Like, we really do need like more of this. So if your friends are saying, wow, there's so many bro casts out there, I'd be like, oh my gosh, have you listened to This Aquarian Life with Joanna Pitt and Andrea Wright? That's my pitch.
I like that pitch.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you soon.